Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
On October 3rd, the League of Women Voters for Ames and Story County held a forum for candidates running for the open seats for Iowa House Districts 45, 46, and 48. The forum was held at Nevada Public Library. We bring you here the opening statements from the candidates. The whole forum is too long to air on Local Talk, but we wanted you to hear what the candidates had to say. Iowa House Districts 45, 46, and 48 cover the towns of Ames, Kelly, Gilbert, Slater, and Sheldahl, northern Story County, and townships of Grant, Washington, Milford, Franklin, and Lafayette. Let's take a listen.
Good evening and welcome to the Nevada Public Library and the Forum for Candidates running for open seats in Iowa House Districts 45, 46, and 48. My name is Judy Trumpy and I'm a member of the League of Women Voters of Ames and Story County. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan political organization with the primary mission of encouraging active, informed citizen participation in their government. The candidates joining us today are from House District 45, Democrat Beth Wessel-Crochelle, incumbent. And her challenger, Republican Ben Brown, was not able to attend, but I will read his statement. From House District 46, Democrat and incumbent Lisa Heddens, who is unchallenged. From House District 48, Democrat Tim Winter, and he is challenging Republican Rob Bacon, who is the incumbent. And Rob could not be here tonight either because of previous commitments, but I'm going to read a statement regarding him. So we'll open with candidates' opening statements. We'll start with you, Beth.
Thank you to the League for sponsoring this event and for the library for hosting us. I always consider this one of my biggest forums for re-election and always enjoy it. So thank you very much for sponsoring it. I am honored to represent Iowa House District 45, which includes Wards 1 and 3 in Ames. It includes Kelly and Grant, Milford, and Washington Townships. I'm proud of my tenure, and I look forward to continuing my service. I serve on Health and Human Services Budget Sub, the Judiciary, Public Safety, and I'm the ranking member of Human Resources. I feel that I've always worked in the best interest of Iowans, from supporting education, pre-K to postgraduate work, ensuring quality health care for all Iowans, improving access to mental health care, supporting real programs for clean water and soil preservation, and defending a woman's right to make her personal health care choice. But I feel the last 2 years have been very challenging for Iowans. We've seen a loss of investment in Iowa, in Iowa's higher education. We've had extremely small increases in our support for pre-K through 12 schools, and workers have lost their rights to collective bargaining. We've watched the suppression of voting rights, and we have put health care reform at risk. Also, Iowa passed the most restrictive abortion laws in the nation, putting women's health care at risk, and putting our residency programs at the University of Iowa at risk, not only the OBGYN program, but also the prenatal or the newborn program. But the Regents definitely took the hardest hit, and students are paying that price. They are looking at increased tuition and fees, and they are going to be looking at more. I'm the mother of a student at a Regent University, and I feel the pain of many families across the state when it comes to the funding of these programs. I'm a little disappointed at the representation at the table today. I wish that my opponent were here. I have not ever met him, and it is October 3rd, so we are a little over a month away, and I've been told he's not going to attend the next forum that I have, which is Sunday. So, well, I think it's hard for my constituents to know and to be able to ask questions about both candidates, and I think that's important. So I thank everybody who's here, and look forward to your questions this evening.
Thank you. I'll read Ben's statement. Ben is challenging Beth. Hello. I want to thank everyone for coming here today and Mary Sand for allowing me to have my opening statement read at this forum. I apologize for not being able to make it here today. I have recently started a new position, and I'm unable to make it due to work. I was born in Ames, and I've spent my whole life within its community, growing up on a farm 20 miles north of here. Both of my parents worked in Ames as I was growing up, and my grandparents live here. A little over 6 years ago, I moved into Ames when I graduated from high school and matriculated at Iowa State University in agricultural biochemistry. While at ISU, I received both a master's and bachelor's degree in biochemistry, as well as a minor in economics. After defending my master's thesis, I had the opportunity to work as an adjunct chemistry professor at DMAC in Boone last semester, where I relished the chance to bless the next generation by teaching what I know best. When I began seriously discussing beginning a campaign for the state legislature, many of my friends and coworkers were very confused why a biochemist wanted to have anything to do with politics. But the reality is, I've always enjoyed government. I love looking at the process and doing everything possible to understand all sides to an argument. Whatever my initial bias is on a subject, I immediately turn to the opposite bias and do all I can to disrupt my initial bias so I can understand the whole situation. My free time consists of reading the thick old classics, which are the bedrock of our economic philosophy, such as Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith, and political philosophy such as Democracy in America by Alex de Tocqueville. Ultimately, the reason I'm running is that I saw a flaw in our voting system that I realized we could change. In the 2016 presidential election, I know many individuals who voted not because they liked either candidate, but rather placed a vote to keep the opposing candidate out of office. Alternately, I also know individuals who voted for a third-party candidate because they could not, in good conscience, vote for the two primary candidates. Effectively, they split their vote, which hurts more than helped them. Many individual votes did not accurately match their preferences. Americans shouldn't have to feel like they're choosing the lesser of two evils. The way our current voting system is set up naturally leads to a two-party system, but a two-party system doesn't lead to collaboration, but rather divisiveness. A two-party system doesn't accurately portray people's preferences because not everyone fits in one of the two options. There is a better option, but it requires the courage to change our unproductive method of voting. Our current voting system in America is first past the post. This means someone can win the election simply by getting more votes than any other person, even if they do not have the majority. Since everyone only gets one vote, this encourages party formation so individuals can have a better chance of getting someone of close political affiliation into office, even if it isn't their first choice. But what if we weren't limited to one vote? In 1770, Jean-Charles de Borda, a French mathematician and political scientist, recognized this conundrum and created a fresh system of voting called the Borda count. The Borda count allows individuals to rank their preferences for candidates, and more points are awarded to the higher-ranked candidates for each individual's ballot. How will this fix our voting system? First and foremost, campaigns will go from being driven by negativity to cooperation. Candidates, rather than tearing down every opponent, will have reason to affirm what's good and true in the words of other politicians. This alone will cause individuals to be more willing to pay attention to politics and allow opportunity to bring about unifying and not just divisive individuals into the political system, which can also translate into the legislative chambers themselves. Multiple parties will have a chance to have a foothold. If we're good Republicans or Democrats, why do we care if third parties have a chance? If nothing else, because new issues are brought to the forefront of politics. When there's only two parties, we only hear the same mantras on the same issues. But new parties bring new perspectives on issues that no one knew were issues before. Why don't we hear anything about Social Security reform? The Social Security Fund is set to run dry in 20 years. We've got to do something about it. But doing something about it requires raising taxes or cutting benefits, both of which are unpopular and therefore causing both established parties to be mostly quiet about it. So, this issue of the reform of our voting system is my call to arms. I saw a flaw, and I saw that we could make something that's already served our country well for many years and make it better. Again, I'm sorry I could not be here today, but I hope you check out my website, www.benbrownforiowa.com or my Facebook page at Ben Brown for Iowa for more information. I've enjoyed the campaign. It's been a wonderful chance to meet many people in Ames and have good conversations about government. I hope you all here today have an enjoyable time discussing the weighty matters of government, and I wish the best of luck to the other candidates. Sincerely, Ben Brown. Okay, Lisa.
Thank you, Judy, and thank you to everyone who's here this evening, and thanks for the League for sponsoring the forum this evening. I am Lisa Heddens, and I represent Wards 2 and 4 in Ames. I currently serve on the Appropriations, Human Resources, and Transportation Committee, and then I'm the ranking member of the Health and Human Services Budget, which covers the Department on Aging, Public Health, Human Services, Veterans Affairs, and the Iowa Veterans Home. When I first ran for office, one of the big reasons for me was to focus on issues related to disabilities. I have two adult, I want to call them children, but I guess they're adults now, and my youngest has an intellectual disability. And seeing the challenges of navigating the quote-unquote disability field in applying for services for him told me either I can complain about it or do something about it, and ran for office. I think during my tenure we have made some great strides on behalf of people with disabilities, but I'm very concerned with the unilateral turn to privatization of Medicaid and the impact that it has had on people within our state. Over 500,000 people in Iowa are on Medicaid. And to break that down, about 60% of those are children, 20% are adults, and another 20% are people with disabilities or seniors. But when it comes to expenditures, about 79% of the expenditures fall on people with disabilities and seniors. So when you talk about reductions within the system, it is going to impact that population the most. And that is what we have seen over the last couple of years. Since the institution of privatization of Medicaid, the top three issues from the Managed Care Ombudsman's Office, their complaint department, has been the reduction, denial, and termination of services every single month. They have gone from about 100 complaints a month to up to over 300 complaints a month. Significant issue that is impacting a very vulnerable population. My hope with this next legislative session is that we can start making some changes to our current managed care system, pulling some of it back into under state control so that individuals are maintaining the services that they need that are vital for their living, and providers are receiving adequate support and payment. That has been the other big issue, is providers are maybe getting paid, but they're not getting paid the correct amount or timely, and is causing a great hardship for those particular providers. The other area that the legislature has worked on, and we've made great strides on, is in regards to mental health care. We've moved from a county-based system to a regional-based system. We've identified some core services, and in the last legislative session, we expanded out as to what our core plus services for that complex needs population. So we are continuing to make strides in that particular area, but we do have a concern in regards to long-term funding of our mental health system. So those are some couple areas that we will need to be looking at very soon so that we don't have folks that are going to be reduced or denied any particular services, and that counties who don't have the ability to raise a tax to fund that any further have the funding mechanisms in order to meet those particular needs. I look forward to your questions this evening, and I again thank you for the invitation to be here.
Thank you, Lisa. Tim, would you like to go next?
Thank you very much, Judy. Hello, everyone. My name is Tim Winter, and I'm running for Iowa House of Representatives in District 48. In District 48, that includes the towns of Slater, Sheldahl, Gilbert, and the townships of Franklin and Lafayette in northern Story County. Except for these areas, this district is primarily an agricultural district, and I'm kind of excited about that. See, I graduated from Iowa State University with degrees in agricultural business and agronomy, and as an agronomist, I have worked with farmers and agribusinesses throughout this district, and especially right here in Story County. I started out at Heart of Iowa Co-op for 2 summers working for Jim Penny as a crop scout while I was going to school, for instance. My wife and partner for over 29 years, Kelly, is a research biologist with the USDA in Ames. We have 2 kids, Jacob, age 11, and Ariana, age 9, who both attend Ballard schools, one in Huxley and the other one in Cambridge. Now, we all live on an acreage just west of Kelly, where we grow and process much of what our family actually eats. You see, both my wife and I are farm kids. We have several produce gardens that supply our family, our friends, and our neighbors. We like to donate the surplus to food banks and also some of the local churches. And then we sell enough just to help pay for the inputs like seed. Our kids are the 5th generation Iowans. Like your children and your grandchildren, they are the future of Iowa. And that is why I am running. I want to build Iowa up. We need to build up our communities in this district. We must create good-paying jobs and help small businesses to grow. High-speed internet must be provided throughout the district, including the rural areas. The district needs access to affordable health care, health facilities, and education. My opponent, if he was here, was going to talk about how great Iowa is already, how it is ranked number 1 in some publication. Tell that to 40.5% of all the Iowa students whose families' income was so low last year that they are now eligible for free or reduced price school lunches. Burnside Township in Webster County, which is in my district, 36.7% of the households received food stamps last year. 36.7% of households. I think we can do better. My opponent is going to say, or was going to say, how effective the massive tax breaks and tax credits have been for Iowa. During the last general session, the Republican-controlled legislature and leadership slashed funds for the Department of Human Services, the Department of Public Health, the Department of Corrections, the Iowa Skilled Worker Agency, Job Creation Fund, Agencies on Aging, Unions, Iowa Court Systems, the Department of Public Safety, the Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, the Department of Natural Resources, Planned Parenthood, the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture, and, of course, education. You just need to ask yourself, if the tax breaks and tax credits have spurred the type of growth that the Republicans say that they are experiencing, then why are we not increasing funding instead of cutting funding for all these vital agencies? The Republicans are in a pickle. They want to increase tax breaks and tax credits to over $2 billion this next session. That means more cuts to more agencies that will hurt lower and middle class families. Ask yourself, to get there, what do you think they will go after next? The Republican-controlled legislature has made Iowa quite unappealing to professionals, such as in mental health and education fields. We now have great difficulty in attracting professionals to our state and keeping them here in Iowa. We are experiencing worker shortages, so they are now proposing stopgaps, like lowering requirements for training or bringing back retirees to help fill in where we have shortages. This is not a good long-term strategy. Simply put, these cuts to funding has been devastating. Certainly, these are big issues that need to be addressed in the next legislative session. We need to come together as a state and bring the common sense attitude and determination that is needed to the Iowa legislature. We need someone who will fight for Iowans. That is what I plan to do. That is why I am running for Iowa House of Representatives. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. On behalf of Rob Bacon, I will read his statement here. Good evening. I'm sorry that I cannot be present tonight, but it is impossible to be at 2 places at the same time. I am an Iowan by choice. I came to Iowa to attend college. While at college, I worked at a funeral home in Oskaloosa. After earning my BA, I attended Mortuary Science School in Chicago, where I earned a degree in mortuary science. I returned to Iowa and have been in the funeral profession for over 40 years. Recently, we sold our funeral homes, crematory, and business. It is our hope that we can spend more time with family and grandkids. I married my high school sweetheart, Carol, 42 years ago. Carol earned her nursing degree in Boone at DMAC and works for McFarland Clinics. We have four grown children. Our firstborn, Joanna, is a public school teacher. Her husband, Aaron, is a family physician in Iowa Falls. Our second daughter, Jennifer, is a medical transcriptionist. Her husband, Justin, is director of marketing and public relations for Kirkwood College in Cedar Rapids. John, our first son, works in Ames at Danfoss. Jeff, John's twin brother, an ISU grad, is an Army veteran and works for the National Park Service in Colorado. We have five grandchildren. As you heard, our family is involved in education, health care, and the environment. These are issues that have been and still are important to our family. My involvement in the state legislature reflects these values. Over the past years, we have increased K-12 funding by over $730 million. This historic investment education is fourth best in the nation. Our high school graduation rate is the best in the nation. We are the national leader in STEM, and we are eighth in the nation for teacher salaries. I voted for an additional $11 million in funding to address school transportation costs. I also voted for several bills this session that will provide additional tools needed to provide our schools safety. This includes ensuring that staff is properly trained in the event of an emergency, giving schools funding flexibility to hire security personnel, and providing schools with additional resources to upgrade schools with new security features. This past year, both parties came together and passed a comprehensive mental health reform bill that will support those dealing with mental illness by closing gaps in the system. We passed legislation to help combat the opioid epidemic that will prevent doctor shopping, reduce overprescribing, and support those who are suffering from addiction. For our rural areas, I voted to ensure that telehealth care is covered by insurance, ensuring that greater access to essential health care services in rural Iowa. I voted to hold MCOs accountable to providers and patients while bringing stronger oversight to managed care. I chair the National Resource Committee in the House of Representatives. Protecting our wildlife, forests, air, and water is important to every Iowan. This year, the first bill passed was a water quality bill. This bill is not a cure-all for our lakes and streams. It is, however, a step in the right direction. This year, I have been endorsed by the Iowa Farm Bureau, the Iowa Corn Growers Association, the National Rifle Association, Life Right Action, the National Federation of Business Owners, and the Iowa Association of Business and Industry. Thank you, Rob Bacon.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.